You are listening to the New Day of Hope broadcast with Helena and Glennis Langley. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the New Day of Hope broadcast. We are so excited that you've joined us one more time. And we pray that your heart will be blessed tonight because we have a very interesting study for you today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are really happy that you have joined us for the next few minutes. And it's not robbery for you to be listening to us today. My wife said that your heart will be blessed and that your soul will be revived in the things of the Lord. Well, my friends, I trust everything is going well with you and your loved ones. Trust you are staying safe. In this day and time, things are not all that great around the world, but we trust you are staying safe and keeping yourself in the hands of the Almighty God. All right, so as my wife said earlier, that we have a great study in store for you tonight, a study entitled, How to Stop Your Thoughts from Controlling Your Life. How to Stop Your Thoughts from Controlling Your Life. Now, you see, my friends, the problem in our world is the thought life. You know, we have problems in our world today. Everywhere you turn, every station you turn onto or radio you turn onto, everybody has the same voice, the same message with the problems in the world. The reason why God destroyed the first civilization with the flood was because of man's thought life. And I can back that up with the word because in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, listen to what the Bible says. It says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. That really supports what I was just saying a while ago. So God saw that the wickedness of man was evil continually, and it is still that way today. Satan is very sinister and diabolically wicked. And I can say that with authority because it is true that Satan is really evil and really wicked. And he wants to capture the hearts and he wants to capture the minds of young and old alike, everybody. He does not discriminate to say, you are old, I'll just overlook you. No, he tries to capture the hearts and the minds of both young and old alike. The mind is a valued prize over which a battle is being waged. When Satan has your mind, he has you, my friend. And to prove that to you, I'll read Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, listen to this. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life.
When the Bible uses the word heart, it literally means the thought life, the mind, the core of an individual. So if we look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So we need to be careful what we have in our heart. Your mind is not your brain. The brain is to the mind what the piano is to a piano player. The brain is what the mind thinks with. A person with a wicked mind and a powerful brain is a dangerous thing. The Bible makes it clear that the mind must be controlled. We can't have our mind wandering and thinking all evil thoughts. We have to bring our mind back into subjection. Romans 8 verses 6 and 7 says, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The word carnal means fleshly minded. So if you're a child of God, your mind cannot be carnal. You have to have your mind on things above and think about things that will bring life and bring peace to you.
So we see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And let me read this to you. It says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The word repent in this text here means a change of mind, a change of mind. So now we go to Psalm 119, which shows us three steps to having a pure thought life. I said in Psalm 119, it shows us three steps to having a pure thought life, even in this day and age when our minds are being bombarded by everything around us, we can still have a pure thought life.
So the first thing we notice is that you must have purification of the mind. And that also in Psalms 119 and verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." That's the only way we can have purification of the mind, is to cleanse our ways, and we can only do so with the word of God. We must first of all get our minds clean. There must be a starting place. The word way in this passage has the idea of a grove, a rut, or a track. So we see Satan tries to get a way or a track in our minds. We get a one-track mind, a rut in our minds. So Satan is trying to get to our mind. And if we allow him, he will cause confusion in our mind. So the word of God is the cleansing agent. John 15 verse 3 says, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you." The word used for clean is the word from which we get our words, katharis. The word of God is a katharis. It cleans us on the inside. The word of God can cleanse our minds. Ephesians 5, 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So you cannot clean your mind by taking a shower. It must be according to the word of God that will clean your mind, purify your mind. The word cleanses us by pointing us to confession and repentance. And we know that repentance is turning away from what is wrong. 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we see our minds can be absolutely cleansed by asking the Lord Jesus to purge and clean our minds. In order to maintain a clean thought life, we must first be cleansed. So you need to clean your mind. Clean it of all the junk and everything that will come to hinder you, and just get into the word, and that will purify your mind.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we are talking about how to stop your thoughts from controlling your life. So my wife was just dealing with the fact that the purification of the mind is very important. Now, let's look at something else that's very important. How about the determination of the mind? In Psalms 119 and verse 10, he says, watch this, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." What a powerful a portion of the word of the Lord. He says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." And you know, if all of us would seek God wholeheartedly, our world would really be different. It's not just a mouth talk, it's a heart talk. I mean, it says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." There is no way to have victory in our thought life if we are not serious about it. We cannot be half-hearted, as I just mentioned, about our thought life, because that is too important for us to be half-hearted about it. So the problem with modern times is half-hearted Christians. Too many Christians are half-hearted. They want to go to church one time, and the next time they don't want to go to church. They want to read the word one time, then another week they do not want to read it. They want to pray one week, next week they do not. We are too half-hearted, and we cannot be like that with our God. They want to serve God and still babble in the world. We cannot do that. There is a battle for our minds, and we will lose it if we are half-hearted. Now, we go to James chapter 1 and verse 8, and I want you to listen attentively because this is very important. It says, "He is a double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways." You see, when we are half-hearted, we are not stable. Because as I was saying earlier, that one time we do this, another time we do that, and we are not really doing what we ought to do. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, watch this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Glory to God. You see, if we draw near to God, the Bible says that God will also draw near to us. We have to cleanse our hands and our hearts, and we have to purify our hearts, and then we will be better equipped to serve the Lord. So we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, he says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." I love that, because the word of God is telling us that, hey man, if we seek God with all our hearts and with all our minds and with all our souls, we will find him. That's what the word of God is saying. And God cannot lie. He said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Earlier, we talked about drawing near to God, and God will draw near to us. So the soul here refers to the mind, the emotion, and the will. When we get clean, we must determine to stay clean, and that is what we have to do. Job chapter 31 and verse 1 says, "I have made a covenant with my eye. Why then should I look upon a young woman?" God will not force himself upon us. We must personally and privately make the decision to stay clean in our thought life. It is left to us. The word of God says, "Wherefore shall a young man cleanse his ways?" He says, it's by taking heed thereto according to the word of God.
In order to stop your thoughts from controlling your life, you must fortify your mind, because we know our mind is under attack, so we have to fortify it. That's why Psalms 119 verse 1 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." And this passage is not referring to past sin, but future temptation. It is the word of God hidden in our hearts that is the antidote to keep our impure thoughts. This is how we avoid being overcome with evil, and how we overcome evil with good. We must saturate ourselves with the word of God. The word of God does us no good if we do not use it, if we do not get it in our hearts and in our minds. So we need to know the word of God in order to fortify the mind. Like I said earlier, our mind is under attack daily by the enemy. So we must know the word of God, so when the enemy comes, we can use the word of God as our defense. So how does the Bible keep us pure? God is holy. When you and I read, we need to understand and apply the Bible. Then we are thinking God's thought after him. That's why Philippians 4 verse 8 to 9 says, "We must think on things that are true, just, lovely, honest, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy." Because God created us where we cannot think two thoughts at the same time. You cannot think something and read at the same time. You have to do one or the other. We cannot do two things at the same time. If we are thinking what is right, then we can be thinking what is wrong. So when we get the Word of God into our minds, it changes our attitude. And our attitude determines our actions. The devil will work on our minds to take us away from the Word of God and purity. So we must be careful in allowing the enemy to get control of our mind. That's why the Holy Spirit leads us to the Word of God. There are steps you can take to make the Word of God real to you. Number one, you must memorize the Word of God. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." To hide the Word of God in our hearts means to memorize the Word. The Word must be in our hearts, and we must personalize the Word of God. So remember, you must know the Word of God. So when the enemy comes, you know exactly what scripture to speak, so he will not have control over you. Psalms 119 verse 12 says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes," which means teach me your words. As we memorize the word, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to personalize it to us. We cannot separate the word of God and the God of that word. And we need to ask God to teach us what his word means. Just reading it alone is not enough. We need to understand what we are reading. We need to pray over it. And as we pray, send for the Lord to speak to us, asking God to help us understand it. We also must verbalize the word of God. You have to speak the word of God over yourself, over your children, over your family. Psalms 119 verse 13 says, "With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." So you have to speak the word of God for yourself. Do not wait for the pastor or someone else to speak it over you. You must speak the word of God for yourself. And you must know the word of God for your own self.
Amen. And that is so true. So now we need to quote the word and share the word with others. That is very important. You know, that's one of the weaknesses of Christians today. That's one of the problems that we experience with believers in our day and time. We are afraid to quote the word of God, and we are afraid to share the word of God with others. You have no idea the blessings that you can bring to somebody's heart when you quote the scriptures, when you talk about the word of God. Remember, the word of God is food for the soul. Remember, the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So when you quote the word, when you share the word, you are only sharing the light so people can see that God is real. So the more we give it away, the more it sticks with us. Oftentimes, our memorization of the word will come through our usage of the word of God. So it's very important that we always quote the scripture. Earlier, my wife quoted the text that says, "The word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against God." That's how important the word of God is. So as we share the word, it puts us on the offensive and the devil on the defensive. Once we let others know that we are bearers of God's word, then we position ourselves so that it won't be as easy to look upon something we shouldn't or say something we shouldn't. And that is very true, because if you are going to tell people to live right, then it means that you yourself must live right. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil is tricky. He's like a roaring lion, and he has a way of exposing us when we do stupidness. So we have to be very careful. Revelation 12 and verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." The Bible is the word of our testimony. We can overcome the devil with the word of God. If you want to see the devil run we used to sing long time ago. If you want to see the devil run, just shoot him in the back with the Gospel John. We can overcome the devil with the word of God. It is a weapon against Satan. We need to speak the word. We need to share the word. We need to sing the word. And we need to vitalize the word of God. I love that. I say we need to speak it. We need to share it. We need to sing it wherever we go. You should never be ashamed of the word of the Lord. All of my help comes from that word, comes from the Lord. Now, in Psalm 119 and verse 14, it says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony as much as in all riches. An impure mind is a mind that hasn't found its contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. An impure mind is a mind that is looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. That's an impure mind. Many Christians have not discovered the riches they have in Jesus because they don't know the word of God. The world loses its appeal when we find satisfaction in Jesus. Those who look to the world to find satisfaction in greed, pornography, etc., never find it. They continually want more and more. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices, and there are cursed children. Rejoice the word and rejoice in God's testimonies. We have the deepest needs of our lives met. So in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This passage does not say that the Father is not in him because he loves the world, but just the opposite. He loves the world because the love of the Father is not in him. When we have been feasting on Jesus, then we don't have to be in the back alleys feeding from the devil's garbage can. Oh, I love that. I said, when we have been feasting on Jesus, then we don't have to be in the back alleys feeding from the devil's garbage can. So it's good to feast on the living bread, and it's good to drink at the fountain's head.
Amen. And I don't think anyone needs to be eating from the devil's garbage can. So how do you stop your thoughts from controlling your life? You must internalize the word of God. This is a step beyond memorizing, a step beyond personalizing, and a step beyond verbalizing the word. You got internalizing the word is meditation. And meditation is one of the great doctrines of the Bible. You got to meditate on the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Amen. Psalms 119:23 says, Prince also sit and speak against me, but your servants meditates on your statutes. That means meditate on your word. Psalms 119 verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Psalms 119 verse 97, oh, how I love your law. That's the word of God. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119 verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Here we see again in Psalms 119, 148. My eyes to the night watches, that I may meditate on your words. Praise be to God. When you have some time, you can read the entire chapter of Psalms 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but there's a lot of good nuggets in it. So sometime at night we cannot sleep. And during the time, what you can do is to meditate on the word of God, because he said he gave his beloved sleep. So just meditate on the word of God, and that will help you to sleep. And then you can say you slept like a baby. So when you and I meditate upon the word of God, the word becomes so real to us that it's like humming a tune that we can't get out of our minds. The word of God permeates us when we meditate upon it, so that we become second nature Christians. Honoring God with our decision and living the Christian life becomes second nature to us. This is actually our true nature, which is the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must meditate on the word of God. Internalize the word of God so you'll be able to control your thought life.
So how do we cleanse our minds as we bring this to a conclusion? So in conclusion, how do we cleanse our minds when we are bombarded by all the filth in society? And it seems like a sewer has erupted in our minds. Psalms 119 and verse 9, we are cleansed by the word of God. You cannot vitalize the word of God in your heart without knowing the offer of that word. Glory to God. My friends, we trust that this program was a blessing to your heart. And you know, we never bring our program to a close without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Today could be a great day if you would turn from sins and turn unto the living God. Salvation is of the Lord. He said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your words. Your words are true, and we know that your words will stand forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if you are blessed by today's word, we encourage you to reach out to us. Let us know. You can reach us at newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. Once again, that's newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. So until then,
let your heart go on singing.
Until then,
oh my friends, with joy you must carry on.
Bye now.
God bless you and God keep you.